Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Redmen TV for the match build-up show, Liverpool-Tottenham Hotspur Wednesday night title decider. Well, maybe not, but it's certainly the biggest game of the season so far. Myself, Chris Page, Jack and Errol Smith are going to be discussing this one very shortly indeed. But first, we have a sponsor once again for the show this week. It is eToro, continuing to help out Redmen TV. So we want to say a massive thanks to them for sponsoring the channel. As you may know by now, eToro are a global investment platform who sponsored a number of Premier League clubs. eToro recently did a survey with football fans which found that just over 80% of Liverpool fans aren't enjoying matches as much due to lockdown, with 73% of fans missing key moments due to distractions while watching the game. If you've ever wanted to start investing but just don't seem to have the time, then with eToro's copy trader, you can now copy the top performing investors. This means that when they invest, you make the same investment automatically at no additional cost, meaning you can invest while getting on with your everyday life. If you're looking to begin investing, be sure to use eToro. Use the link in the description to learn more. Yes, get involved. It makes us look absolutely amazing. If you're in an investing kind of mind, then do try it out with eToro. Yes, Chris, I said it there at the top. Biggest game of the season so far. It just is. You know, it's weird that it's a game against Tottenham Hotspur. We've been so used to it being Liverpool and Man City do or die. It doesn't feel like, if I'm being honest, one game will be do or die this season, but there's that whole top at Christmas thing looming that's very much, you know, Liverpool are the rare exception to the rule that if you're top at Christmas, you go on and win the league. Again, this might be a random season for that, but it is a little target to be able to be
absolutely aiming for. It's a chance for both teams to gain an advantage. And, you know, it is a six-pointer, but it's not the end of the league season if one team loses. You know, Liverpool could lose this game and still go on and piss the league if our players come back and everything else falls into place and stuff like that. But, you know, you want to be able, I think from a Liverpool perspective, to go there, to beat them, and then them to think, oh, they're getting their players back now. Mm-hmm. And we still aren't as good as them. So mentally, it's a real game where Liverpool can put the knife in.
I think that's a really big point, because we'll talk about Liverpool's problems, Errol, and the prevalence, and there's all kinds of injuries, fitness, all of those things, and we'll come to all of that. But I think that's a really interesting point that Chris makes there, is that it's known that Liverpool are struggling. Yeah. You know, if we're able to put our best team out, our best team is only going to be the team that, if we're very lucky, the team that started 3 days earlier.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them have played a lot of football in the last few weeks as well. Tottenham will be looking at going, this is a good opportunity. If we're able to do that, we're able to say, we're top of the league. And like Chris says, there's nine Liverpool players who could miss this game. Yeah. That sends a message. It's a completely different kind of message. And that's why it's just so vital for us to get any kind of win in this game.
Yeah, I feel like one of the advantages is playing at their place coming up on Wednesday. I feel like that's going to...
It's at Anfield.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a fucked one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was a third. I was saying to them outside before it was a third. I feel
someone should have called you on that. Right. Yeah. Well,
I feel stupid, but I would have wished it was...
Just start the point again.
Yeah, just start the point again.
I wished he would have been playing at their place, sorry.
Yeah, fine. Go on, start your point again.
I've completely lost it. Sorry, James.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, so, it's important for us to get any kind of win in this because of the message you're concerned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. If we can get a win over them with the threadbare squad we've got at the minute, it will just send a definite message.
Well, because Mourinho's trying to tell them, this is good. We keep going. We're doing our thing. Yeah. This is our chance to capitalise. And Tottenham will be looking. I get this impression because they're flying and their top players are top players and they probably should have accumulated more trophies. Harry Kane should have more silverware. Yeah. If he played for another top club, and he's more than capable of playing for any of the top clubs in world footy, he could have a bag full of trophies at this point. So they'll be ready for this. But there's also that thing of they haven't done this before, and some of them will have that lingering memory of the Champions League final. So there's a degree to which they're looking at the top of the league going, you know, like they're on top of it, but they're ill-balanced at the top of it. They're on the top of the tree, but the fairy's not quite as well-balanced as maybe you would. It looks on the adverts.
No, it's not. But I feel like with Mourinho, I think that dispels a lot of what you just said there. He's the kind of character, and he, because it is at our place, he'll know exactly what game plan he's going in with. He will have them all kind of sat deep. They'll be defending, parking the bus, classic Mourinho, and he will just be looking at us on the counter with Son and Kane. They've linked up so well all season. I think they've been... I feel like they've probably been the most deadly duo so far
without,
this season. Like,
without a shadow of a doubt, Harry Kane, 12 games this season, 9 goals, 10 assists. It's just Premier League, by the way. Son, 10 goals and 4 assists in his 12 games.
I've been saying it for the last 2-3 seasons. He is world class. And if I would have had the money to have bought anybody to bolster off from free, it would have been him.
Son is... He's like their Mane in that regard, in that he's absolutely world class, Chris, but he probably doesn't get recognised for some reason.
I think he does now. I think this a lot season, of Liverpool fans.
He's never going to win the Ballon d'Or, is what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't think Mane's ever going to win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, you're right, actually. I never thought of it like that. Yeah. He's never winning it.
Yeah.
But he should be in the conversation. He should certainly be in the top 10 players in world footy, maybe at the moment. Leafy. He's playing that well. Just to go back, it's like it's a ladder match, right, in the WWE.
Yeah.
But we're 2 minutes in and they're already on top of the ladder with their hands on the belt, and they know that this ladder match ain't going to end in 2 minutes because we've got half an hour to fill it, and Liverpool come streaming down and you're like, they're at the top, they've got their hands on, they're looking at it and go, this is going to hurt when they knock us off this fucking ladder. That's what we're going to do.
Von Strengthinho's watching at home, has just absolutely got his latest gift lined up for post-match. No, I think that's it. I don't think this is going to be, there's not going to be a devastating blow landed to either side, but you're right in so much as psychologically, I don't think a Tottenham win hurts Liverpool as much as a Liverpool win hurts Tottenham, because we're the benchmark. There's a chance for us here against all the odds and all the circumstances to just
overperform.
To show Spurs and show for the footy what we all kind of have held inside deep, and you know, we've spoken about it in various places, and it's kind of, look, this change, it only takes a bad result or two for us to all to start to lose faith because that's the world. But I can't help but look at where Liverpool are and look at the adversity in terms of the injuries and what we've had to go through so far this season. And look, I'll mention the VAR overturns and the various decisions. You know, whatever. There's been a lot of them. And if they're right decisions, they're right decisions. But whatever, they're all things that you've got to pick yourself up from in various stages of the game. Just like the Everton game and the Brighton game are two really outstanding ones where late moments of drama have undercut your positivity, forward momentum in a season. And yet, you know, we're looking around going, oh God, we feel a bit down in the dumps and a bit dejected. There's 5 goals between us and Spurs and they're fucking flying. They're absolutely...
They're having
on
a belt
of cloud season, nine, exactly, fine. Everything's great with their football club at the moment. And we're looking around going, oh my God, we're suffering from injuries and we're really struggling. Our deep down feeling for this, Chris, and let's put it into the world, is that if we had a few more things go right for us in terms of injuries, we'd be well clear of the league this
Paul,
season.
Paul, I have not wavered once. All season long, I've said Liverpool are going to win the league this season, and no amount of injuries has made me change that, and no amount of results has made me change that point of view, because what we're doing right now is unbelievable when you consider the extenuating circumstances. And look, has Klopp made mistakes? Yeah, he's probably made a few mistakes. He made mistakes when we won the league. He made mistakes when we won the European Cup. He made mistakes when we finished a point behind Manchester City. Every manager makes mistakes. Players make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Players get injured. It's how you react to those things that proves if you're a good manager or not when you make those mistakes, and prove if you're a good player or not and you're able to do it at the highest level when you come back and you go through that adversity and you showcase what you can do the other side. That's what Liverpool are doing right now. Mm-hmm. It's nothing short of astounding, us being joint top of the Premier League.
This is one of the benefits of having a manager like Klopp and the amount of time it's taken him to work on that system, because we are whether we want to see it as a benefit or not, really, we're reaping the benefits of actually seeing through that whole system that he's been putting into these players for 2, 3, 4 years now, simply because you can pull Fabinho into centre-back during position and he can play like a Rolls-Royce.
Yeah.
Like, we've got that luxury now because he's given those players the time to be able to say, do you know what, this is where I might need you. It's all behind the scenes and we don't get to see it as fans, but he's told a few of them lads, the option, this is why we play so many different positions. Yeah. This is why I'll have James Milner playing left back, or he might go over to right back, because he knows with the amount of games that we end up playing and the way that the Premier League is, as you were saying before we started rolling, we're not getting the five subs like other some leagues around Europe. So he's got to work with these lads in a different way. And he's, so far, it's only been a good thing, considering, as you were saying just then, we're seeing it as a struggle. But to be looking down at, like, what, 16, 17 other teams?
Perspective's mad in all that regard. That's what I'm saying. That's where the thing, where sometimes we have to step outside of our bubble and look at the context of the situation. I don't think there's any one of us that thinks that if you could plug back in two or three of those lads, like if we just had James Milner back available to us, just give us Millie back, you know, for the rest of the season, just that would just help us immeasurably, just take a little bit of the pressure off. If we could get, I don't know, if we could just guarantee that Matip wouldn't be made of crisps, that'd be nice. You know, if for God's sake, the signing we're most excited about, if Thiago could actually just play a game of football for us, that would be lovely. You know, that's...
But you can't sit and moan and whinge about this stuff. The lads can't, so why should we be able to
exactly.
as well?
Exactly, and again, you're right. There's no point in getting lost in it because there's nothing we can do about it, and we can get upset. And you mentioned the Klopp thing, and part of it, and I'm sure, comes in reaction to, like, I've seen a lot of people going, well, Klopp shouldn't have played Jota. You know, it's like anything. It's like saying you can't cross the road because you can get knocked down by a car if you cross the road. It doesn't matter if you take every precaution in the world. There's no precaution in the world. No, a dangerous driver is not going to not run you over because you were going on the green man. You know what I mean? It happens. People get those situations happen all the time. You can't isolate yourself against every possible best possible problem in life, which is a very prevalent sort of way of putting it at the moment in life. But no, it is. We'll talk more about the Reds after the break. But before we do, I just want to talk about Jose Mourinho. And I just think he's the absolute perfect manager for Tottenham Hotspur. I think we've seen him. He was the perfect manager for Chelsea when he came in. They really needed that. A manager who made them believe they were a top-level club. Yeah. He came in and his ego, and he carried Chelsea up to that upper echelon. He elevated their status. He's had a bit, you know, and he did the
Lucky
same with...
It's lasted for like 10 years, Paul Joe, and he's been in gone.
He did the same in Inter Milan. There was an ill fit a bit at Real Madrid. I think his ego matters, telling that he actually got a bit more time than most managers have had at Real Madrid, of course. Man United wasn't a fit because Man United come with expectations for style of play. But at Tottenham, he's come in, he's got all this experience, people are now able to refer to him as the serial winner again. Mm-hmm. And they're a fan base and a bunch of players who are just desperate for someone to show them how to win. It's like not knowing how to pull a bird, and you go with a group of friends who seem to know how to pull birds, and it's like, teach me a secret for how you get girls to go. And that's what like Kane's like, oh, please, Jose, please show me how to win a piece of silverware. And he's going to be able to do whatever he wants. He can't put a foot wrong. So given the current footballing climate, they couldn't have a better choice. To have a manager who knows how to shit out his way through football matches, perfect.
Absolutely. I think to begin with, I felt it was the squad that he needed at Man U, if that makes sense. Like the way he's got those players, like those...
He's got a centre-forward for the first time in England since he had Didier Drogba.
Exactly. And he's got centre-half that he can rely on.
Yes.
And that was always going to be the thing. He never trusted Bailly or friggin' Lindelof over in Man U. He trusted these lads. And I think they've bought in. And as you were saying there with the whole Kane thing, why wouldn't you buy into Jose? If Jose's saying, run through this wall for me, those lads are going to try and do it if they believe there's going to be silverware on the other side of the wall. And I genuinely think, I don't think the league's the best chance for them to get silverware this year. I think we said that just briefly, didn't we? I think it'll be Europa that he really goes for. But in terms of what he's been able to do, they do believe that there's something about them now. And I don't think Poch managed to get that. I think they felt like he was able to compete with the best. But I feel like they now feel we could be the best.
They were very good at they had to be absolutely at their best on their day, yeah. Everything going for them, wonderful stylistic way of playing, and you could beat, they could beat anyone on the day, yeah. But if things didn't go right, they couldn't, and they came up against the Liverpool side, who by that time were battle-hardened from being the opposite, being Spurs against Real Madrid the year before, yeah. And that's the one thing that Mourinho's given them a bit more, their lows hardier, they're prepared to throw away their ethos for the chance of success, and that's why they've completely bought into it, and that's why, again, Chris, goes back to it, there's a real there's a psychological win that's on the line for Liverpool in so many different ways here, because, you know, that's how Mourinho comes undone, that's how he came undone at Man United. It's fine when it's working. To give up your football ethos is fine when it's going for you.
And let's be honest, look, Tottenham didn't get anywhere with that football ethos. That's what you're kind of saying, isn't it? And, you know, we know how good they were under Pochettino and stuff, but Tottenham had different expectations. This isn't a Man United side who want to win nicely. You know, they weren't particularly happy with the Europa League. You know, it was a bit of a failure for them. It's a competition they've laughed at for 20 years. Now, it's a big win for them, looking now. You know, what that was. And, you know, Man United fans probably didn't buy into Jose Mourinho in quite the same way. Tottenham just want to win.
Yep.
And they don't care how
by
they
any
win.
Means.
And again, I go back to it. I said it before, and I say it fairly often. It's timing in football. If Mourinho had come in prior to Pochettino, it might not have worked. But because of the players that Pochettino had been through that, worked so hard for so long, stylistically playing this way of football and them not getting anything, for another manager to come in and go, look lads, you're brilliant, you're all good footballers, but you're not going to win like that,
yeah.
This is how you're going to win, and the early success that he's had, and it's
the right kind of message for exactly. What that squad needs, that squad was done, that was the last hurrah of that team. You know, Eriksen leaving felt like that they were starting to dismantle it all, whereas he's just done enough, I think, to get two good seasons out of them, and then yeah. See what happens. You know, bringing Bale back in, you know, he wasn't available at the weekend, or yeah, at the weekend because of injury or sickness, I think it was. But he's not played loads for them, but he's got an aura of being an unbelievable footballer that you've brought in.
And it takes that load off Kane as well, yeah. In terms of being a talisman. I feel like he's absolutely. Had to have that pressure on his shoulders, you know, for a good couple of years.
He's won stuff under Mourinho as well. That don't forget what that will do for the squad.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Trust me, guys. You know, he's away. Yeah. Mourinho doesn't need to be close. He's got Bale just hopping around going, yep, do that, lads. Trust me, it worked. When we were doing this at Real Madrid, yeah, in between playing on the golf course, you know, it was it. And
before,
then they go, oh, yeah.
Before the golf course.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But
for us, there's like, obviously there's the 3 points at stake, But as you were saying, in the whole psychological thing and that boost, it'd be a huge boost with a skeleton squad to be able to beat them. Yeah. Whereas for Spurs, I think there's only 3 points at stake for them.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because I do wonder whether Mourinho actually will be... Again, there's a chance for them to capitalise on a weakness from Liverpool, but also he's not known for coming to these games and coming to Anfield and trying to be anything other than hard to beat. Yeah. He doesn't need to change his approach for this, by the way, because as long as you've got Kane and Son on the pitch, you can hit it, and you've got, you know, a little Bergwijn available to him, and you know, so they've got that little bit of pace. The fullbacks are playing really well as well, which will help their approach. He can sit in and frustrate us. He'll be made up with a draw because that's our big shot.
Yeah.
Getting that win at Anfield in the cut again. Mourinho lives to take away the happiness from other people. That's what he does. He gets sexually aroused by making other people disappointed with their lives. Yeah. So he'll look at us going, oh, he'll recognise what a win psychologically does and all those things and how that's damaging to what he does. And it wouldn't surprise me if he was like a pig in shit with a draw from this game. But that doesn't mean that they won't get one. They could easily come away with a win. We need to be sharp in this one. Right, very brief break coming up right now. We've got a trivia question to keep you tied over till we come back. How many times has Jose Mourinho managed against Liverpool? Nice and simple, short answer. Let us know what it is in the comments and check back for the answer after the break. The second Redmen TV book, Champions of Everything, is available for sale right now. It comes in two editions, the standard edition and the special edition, which comes signed with a custom message of your choice and with a limited edition Redmen TV sticker pack as well. The book is huge. It is A4 size and it is chock full of insight. Photographs from around the world following the mighty Reds, who were reigning European champions, who won the Super Cup, who became champions of the world, and then capped it all off with a 19th league title, becoming champions of England. The book looks at the highs, lows, absolute insanity and bitterness of rival fans, and some of the craziness from our own fan base as well along the way. It is available now on the Redmen TV store. Get involved. Yes, thank you so much. Do check out the Champions of Everything book. We're very, very pleased with it. Something completely different on the Liverpool book market. I hope you'll enjoy it as much as the people who've bought it so far have as well. Let's dive into it then. The trivia question before the break was, how many times has Jose Mourinho managed against Liverpool? Errol?
You want the answer or a guess?
Yeah, you might stumble upon the answer with a guess.
How many times? I'm going to go for an odd number, and I'm going to say 13 times.
13, that's ridiculously low. He's managed at least about 10 years in the Premier League against us.
I mean,
so two spells at Chelsea, mm-hmm. Man United, mm-hmm. Tottenham now mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
So 4, 5, I mean, let's say 10, there's 20 games.
Okay.
Right, we've had at least 4, at the very least, against Chelsea in the Champions League early mm-hmm. on. We've probably had a game. We've had loads of cup games against them. It's 30.
It's not right.
Oh.
But it's so close. 29.
Oh,
this will be
his
30th game in charge against Liverpool.
Wow. This is the final word, isn't it?
there you go. I mean, it's telling, of course, that the results have just started to kind of swing towards us in that. Obviously, we beat Tottenham 1-0 last season. We ended his Manchester United career with that famous 3-1 win at Anfield, the Shaq attack game. We lost at Old Trafford before that. Three draws in the first three games against Manchester United, and obviously we had a lot of ups and downs with his time at Chelsea, of course. But it has felt like Klopp's had the better of Mourinho in recent years. I think this is going to be the biggest test, and particularly given the environment that we're in. The one thing I'd say about Liverpool, Chris, is that I said it before, even in the best case scenario, the team we're going to put out, we're crossing all our fingers and toes that Matip is fit and available for this one. And if he is...
I hope he's not, because he'll get fucking injured.
toe strain out for a month. Is that the best case scenario we're looking at right now? Because I can't see anyone else coming in out the blue for this one. It's just too close to the weekend. Is that the same 11 starts again? There's maybe a conversation about Oxlade-Chamberlain, but he hasn't played a single minute of football for us this season.
Yeah, don't have that conversation.
So best case scenario is it's the same 11 asked to go again. The same 11 that were absolutely teared in the first half at the weekend against Fulham. the one thing that goes for us in this, because I think we could lead this down the path of, oh dear God, yeah. Like we were crap, we were tired. How's 3 days difference with no real time to train going to benefit us in this regard? The one thing that we've got going, and it kind of goes back to a bit what Errol was saying before, what's been instilled in this side loves pain. It genuinely loves, it loves anguish and being tired, and it loves having to push itself that little bit harder. Now, that's probably one of the reasons why we've picked up so many injuries this season to some extent. But again, telling these lads, I know what the battle cry is. I know you're all tired. I know this has been hard, but these lads are coming to your house where we haven't been, where we're unbeaten in this run of games, and they're coming for your title. And I think, you know, if I'd back any
did we end Mourinho's Chelsea home record unbeaten run under Mourinho?
Like, it sounds like something for a man who's got a laptop in front of him that you possibly could have sorted out before.
Carry on talking, just don't mind me.
But this is the point. The battle cry writes itself, and this is a side that I would back over any other Liverpool era to be able to go, well, you're hurting, I'm hurting. Well, you know what? Let's all go and hurt together and go and get a result.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, look, let's be honest, Tottenham are in the same predicament with games played, and they've pretty much got their first choice side, and they'll want to put their first choice side out, and it was pretty much the same at the weekend as well, and they weren't great at the weekend either. Mm-hmm. You know, people are forgetting, we were off the back of a European week last week.
Yeah. And the end of the European run.
Exactly, yeah. So it's been the hardest sort of stage of it, and now we're getting a league game and then another midweek. So we've almost extended the European week, midweek, weekends and all that type of stuff. Tottenham are going through the same. Yes, we've got more injuries. We're on level on points. Mm-hmm. You know, we're playing at home. It should give us the advantage. And the thing with the side is, for me, there's the difference between this Liverpool side and the one that's got all the top draw players in is consistency only.
Yeah.
The ceiling is just as high. It's just we can't hit that ceiling week in, week out, twice a week. We can still go and demolish a side if if it clicks. Yeah. But the problem is, we might have a game like Fulham where it doesn't click.
Yeah.
And that's the world class is consistency.
Yeah.
That's what world class is. You know, all the top players, there's not much between a very, very, very good footballer and world class, other than the world class player does it every single fucking week without fail.
Yeah.
And we've got loads of really good footballers.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Like I said before, I can't see much difference in this game. There's a chance that maybe, again, it's going to hinge on Matip. Yeah. If Matip's not fit, then there's a big decision to be made about the midfield. And is it, do you do what we did against Fulham and put Jordan into the back four? Do you? I mean, again, we're coming up against the most lethal attacking partnership in the league this season. Do you want to throw Reece Williams or Nat Phillips or Billy Kinesio
together?
Not to get.
I'd rather. No, mate.
So I feel like, in terms of what we were talking about with Nat Phillips before, we're only going to know how good he is or how good he could be unless he is going to be challenged by some really good opposition. Mm-hmm. It is all well and good to be able to just utilise him for the Burnleys or what you would have liked to see him in the Fulham game. But a game against Harry Kane and Son, if he can do as well, if he can hold his own against them too. You could throw him, at least Klopp should feel like he's got the trust to be able to say, I can throw you in any game for the rest of the season. Now, you might not be the first name on the starting 11, but push comes to shove, I can rely on you. And I feel like we can't risk putting Matip and Fabinho on at the same time, much more, Joe. I mean, not over this period.
You can't imagine that much fear, can you? Look, they're the best side that we're coming up against. Mm-hmm. For quite some time now, I think.
For the rest of the year.
Yeah, and so, therefore, it's the biggest game, and I think you've got to play the two of them. Now, look, if he was...
You're asking Joe Matip to go through the pain barrier here. You're saying injections, absolutely. Everything, you can have a week. No, but you've got Palace, and then you've got a week off
I would, anyway. But let's not forget here. Harry Kane's going to go on who he thinks is the weakest centre-half, no matter what. He's not going to go up against Joe Matip. He'll go up against Fabinho because he'll think he can win fouls off Fabinho. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, probably he will.
He will.
Yeah. Yeah, he will because he's a clever player and he knows how to do it. And equally, if he goes up against Nat Phillips, he'll school Nat Phillips.
Yeah.
He will fucking school Nat Phillips.
Yeah.
And he'll school Reece Williams. And he'll make them look like kids.
Yeah.
You know, because he's that good. He is world class and he knows everything and he'll suck them into tackles and yellow cards.
So no Matip, Jordan Henderson?
No, Matip.
No, so let's follow that on because you're saying that Nat Phillips and Reece Williams are getting schooled. if there's no Joel Matip,
I think you attack first, and you go, all right, yeah, no Matip, I play Hendo in midfield, and I would play probably, I wouldn't want to, but I would probably play Nat Phillips and go, going to score more than them.
Got to, yeah.
It's an interesting point. I agree. I don't think you can afford to not have Jordan Henderson in midfield for this game. I just think it's... I mean, the game might progress. You might find similar to Fulham's
bit... What of a question, that.
Oh, I know it is. But it might not...
This is the predicament we find ourselves
in. No, but this is the point. It might not break down too dissimilarly to the second half that we saw at the weekend. If Mourinho's game plan is not going to be expansive. They're not going to be leaving gaps, and Liverpool will need to find that tipping point balance, get it just right between applying enough pressure, committing enough bodies to attack, but not leaving yourself uncovered at the back to be nailed, which they will absolutely tear us apart if we do that.
An early goal would do us the world of good.
Yeah, 100%.
World of good.
That first 10 minutes could be completely pivotal, and we need to get back to having that strong start.
Two.
In this.
Yes, Erasure. One doesn't change their game plan.
No, of course not.
We need to change the game plan.
Do you not think one would? An early
not for
one?
At least
doesn't
70 minutes.
Mourinho doesn't come out at 1-0 down. That's 0-0 to him.
Yeah.
Because a point is a really good result for him. One, I mean, again, you saw it when what Hodgson did to them at the weekend, and I'm sure we'll see it again next weekend for us. Your expectation is not to win the game, but you know you've got the ability to win the game. 1-0 touching it again, Atletico. All teams built like that are made up at 1-0 down, because that's when, sorry, Errol, the team, the onus is
still on.
There's
a nervousness grows into the game.
Because a goal undoes, because you're aware of how hard it is. Tottenham only conceded 10 goals in the league in 12 games this season. Yeah. So there's a pressure on us to break them down that doesn't change in that regard. But Chris is right. You've got to get to two.
Well, that's
or defend resolutely at one.
At one, yeah. I was thinking we need to do what they did to Arsenal. You got the early goal and then you got the one right before half-time.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. Done.
What you want to be doing is forcing Mourinho into his classic three subs at half-time. That's when he's at his absolute worst, Mourinho. Yeah, and yet he still pulls results out when he's done that in the past, to be fair.
Absolutely. But no, it's a fascinating game. And again, you're right, in terms of the midfield thing, I think you want Jordan Henderson in midfield, but you might find with 60 minutes that that Nat Phillips is a bit redundant in that team. If it's Nat Phillips, if it's Reece Williams, if it's Billy Kometio, I don't know. Again, it could be. I mean, it's a big ask when he's had so little football. But in terms of the aerial challenge of Kane, you could do worse than put Kometio in there if you wanted to. You could do worse than Reece Williams. You've got a bit more recovery pace if you need
it
as well.
I'd go, unsurprisingly, I'd probably go Phillips for his physicality.
Yeah,
I know Reece is taller and stuff like that, but against Kane, you know, he's a physical footballer, isn't
strong,
he? But
strong,
I think he wins those situations. Look, I've seen him. Lovren was really good at defending those types of games. Couldn't defend Kane.
It's what else we do, and it's there's not going to be too much there, but we're encouraged by having Oxlade-Chamberlain back available, and we're encouraged by having Taki Minamino just starting to get into it a little bit of form as a midfielder if we need him there. I think we'll need both of those players in this game at some point, and my suspicion is we go as close to the weekend as possible, and then if you need to go up a gear, if we need to commit another body to attack, then it'll be on Ox or Taki to give us a little bit extra.
Just get Divock warming up from the first minute, mate. Oh, just get him warming up, saying hello to everybody. Hiya, remember me.
Yeah. Just replay that noise of the ball in the back of the net. Yeah, the little clink as the ball hits the back of the net from the Champions League.
Have you seen in the other stadiums where abroad and stuff, they've put the pictures of fans and all that stuff, just loads of pictures of Divock all the way around the ground.
All the European Cup on his head. Yeah, definitely. I'll be made up for that. Right, let's have some score predictions. Errol, what do you think?
I'm going to go for a nervy 2-1.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with that one, to be honest, Chris.
But we do get that early goal. I reckon we do get that early goal.
1-0 Liverpool, and it's hellaciously nervy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very close one. I can
see a draw as well. You know,
I've got a sneaky feeling that they might surprise us with something. Like, I could see us going a goal behind here, and then it's on Liverpool to go, right, what have we got? How do we dig deep in this one? And so I think it'll be 1-1 or we'll scrape a 2-1.
Here's where Jose comes to play. None of us expect it. No, and they actually fucking pin us in the mate.
Yeah, hell, the freeze over before Jose comes to play it.
Mourinho has like a near-death experience tonight, and then when someone goes, "What have I been doing all my life?" Oh, yeah. He has it like it's a wonderful lifestyle epiphany about footy, and decides to come back. Yeah. Scrooge gets visited by the ghost of Porto Past and decides to change his ways. That'll be it. We'll have to see how it goes down. We'll have to see who is actually fit and available. We will be back with more
might
for
be
you.
Use.
Yeah. Along for the day when we can't make those jokes anymore. It'll be great. We've just got enough players to be fit. But no, listen, plenty of content in and around the Redmen TV YouTube channel and the RedmenTV.com if you need more between now and kickoff. We've got our tribute to Gerard Houllier on the YouTube channel. We've got the Champions League draw reaction on the RedmenTV.com, and the starting 11 prediction will be coming as well, and there'll be the podcast on Tuesday. So yeah, plenty of stuff to keep you going between now and kickoff. We will be doing the watch along commentary, so tune in for that one on Wednesday night. If we don't see you before, we shall see you there. Have a wonderful week. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.